end up with this, guys. We're gonna get woken up this morning.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart.
Morning, everybody. Sister waved at me. Hey, what's up, buddy? Hey, has everybody got your announcement sheet as you walked through the door this morning? If you don't, you can go get one. We got some announcements. Youth will be meeting again this evening. That's good. Simulcast, the call to follow Christ. This is in preparation for the Follow Me series that the whole church will be going through here in a couple weeks. It's going to be Wednesday, August 14th from 6 to 7:30. All life group leaders, all ministry leaders, everybody that considers themselves a good leader here at Cornerstone, we're encouraging you to attend, but it's also free to anybody else that wants to come. So please put that on your calendar. Our church is always looking for ways to serve you. We're signed up for like a Netflix of Bible studies. It's called Right Now Media. If you go there, you log in, you can do a search. They've got videos, short ones, they've got long ones, they've got any kind of video you think. I mean, like 2,000 videos in there you could go through. No, it's no expense, it's free if you're interested in that. Cornerstone Kids, they try to make the downstairs a warm and welcoming and entertaining and encouraging environment for the kids. Our goal is for the downstairs is for the kids to say they want to come to church instead of about church. So anyway, we're always in need of volunteers down there. If you'd like to volunteer, contact Dee Walker. Her email is on this thing. Ribbons of Faith is scheduled to hold its fourth educational session titled Lung Cancer. Wednesday, August 21st, this is going to be at Cliffview Church of God at 6 p.m. And one more thing, Cornerstone Kids is going to have a back-to-school bash August 17th from 3 to 5 at Rollerland. Rollerland. So anyway, that's it on the announcements. Luke, please take over.
All right, if you guys will stand up, we'll continue.
I don't know about you guys, but I know for myself and a couple of people up on stage, and I know a couple of people out in the congregation, it's been a really draining week, and a lot of things have happened. I don't know. I feel like everybody's tired, and last night I was... there's a verse in Lamentations, and I don't know if you guys have read Lamentations, but it's a pretty depressing book. Like, there's a lot of mess that's going on, but there's one passage in chapter 3 of Lamentations that says, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." So this morning, if you've had an awesome week, if you've had just a really, like, kind of week, let's just take all of that off and come before God as his children and recognize that regardless of what's going on in our lives, that he is good and he's loves us. So anyway, you guys would please worship with us.
My
first cross, you broke my shame and sinfulness. You rose again, victorious. Faithfulness, none can deny. Through the storm and through the fire.
Same generation.
Father God, we thank you this morning that even when we fall short, God, that you are constant and you constantly love us and your arms are open to us, God. I just thank you for all of the things that you have given us, God. Your mercy, your grace, your love, your son. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the people in this room. And I just ask that you would be with Mike as he comes and he brings the message. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Stone this morning. We are glad you are with us again. And first thing I want to mention as we start off is, man, what a great celebration last week for our baptism service. How many of you guys were with us for that last Sunday evening? We had almost 200 people in attendance. We saw 7 people make that public profession of faith where they're saying, I am not ashamed to be a follower of Christ. And that's just exciting to see people take that step of faith and be baptized. And great weather for it, great time. The kids had a blast. We had plenty of food. As I mentioned last week, I think in our second service, I think everybody wore their comfort breeches so they could eat plenty. And we had a big old time. And it was kind of strange having a message about fasting last week and then having a big cookout. So hopefully you made up for it during the week a little bit. But I'm glad you're with us this morning. We are starting a new series. We'll spend a few weeks here talking about, what is a movement? What's the difference between an institution and a movement? And let me just start this morning by asking you a question, just to get you thinking, just to get the wheels turning. I know it's early. I know the Fiddler's Convention has been all week. So I know you got to get those brain cells working. So here's my question for you. Why do you come to church? Why do you come to church? Because that question will answer a lot about how you view the church and whether you view the church as an institution or you view the church as a movement. And the thing is, when I ask you, why do you attend church, there are a lot of good reasons, and there's really, I would say, there's not like an absolute wrong or right answer here, but I want to get you thinking a little bit. I want to get you to analyze why you come to church. Some of you come to church because you want to learn more about the Bible, right? And that's a good thing. You want to increase your knowledge and understanding of the Bible. Some of you come to church because you like the music, and we had just an awesome time of worship this morning. We were blessed by that. Some of you came here because you've got friends here. And this is just a great place to catch up and you feel welcomed and you feel like this is family here. Some of you come because it's a friendly atmosphere. And you feel safe when you come in these doors. Some of you like the coffee and the donuts. I'm not saying who. Some of you just look and we think, man, we've got good programs for youth and for children and you want to be part of something like that. And those are all like good reasons, right? I mean, those are all things describe what we do as a church. But let's take it kind of a step deeper. What about that you see God at work and you want to join in with the movement of God here in this place? What if you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, and you can't help but join in to build the kingdom? What if you want to make a difference for the God of the universe who has saved you and redeemed you? And the way you view church and the way you view why you come here, again, it shows a lot about how we understand what church is. If I were to ask most of you, where do you go to church or what is church to you? You're going to say, well, I go to Cornerstone and we meet at 227 South Main Street, downtown Galax. And that's where our church meets. And that's not right. That's not entirely incorrect, because that is our physical address here. But when we start thinking about it, hey, I'm part of a body of believers known as Cornerstone Community Church. And hey, we happen to meet on Sundays, but you know, the church is wherever we are, because we are the church. Again, we don't think, and just naturally in our conversation, we don't talk like that, do we? We talk about church as a place, as a building, as something that happens on Sunday morning. But yet, we know that it goes so far beyond that. We know that there's more to it. Let me just kind of start off this morning. What is the difference between a movement and an institution? You saw a little bit on the video this morning, and it said that institutions are focused not on changing the world, but on building themselves based on what people want. And I think that's a good definition of an institution, because institutions are about self-preservation. What can we do to make sure that we survive, that we are, that we can, you know, we can stay going. You know, institutions are about retaining members. Institutions are about keeping the status quo. Institutions are about, they're about filling roles in order to keep the institution going. But, you know, institutions are very different from a movement. Because a movement, like, you know, movements are dynamic, they're fluid, they're changing. Movements are not about the institution, but movements are about a purpose or a cause. Movements are, movements are about a group of people, and let's call it the movement for Christ that we have here. It's about people who have been changed, radically changed and transformed by Christ. And now we're going out. Because we have a purpose, we have a mission, we have a cause. And we can't be satisfied just getting together for an hour a week. And it's about something greater than just what happens here for 1 hour on a Sunday morning. And that's why I think it's so important to have this conversation about movements. And I know structure is necessary for a movement of God. I'm not saying that structure is wrong, because structure is very important. But what we have to remember, and what I've told people over and over through the years here at Cornerstone, our structure is a tool in order to accomplish our mission. Our structure, we don't worship our structure. Our structure is simply a tool that helps us accomplish what God's telling us to do. And so when God says, you need to do this, then sometimes we have to create structure in order to make that happen. But we don't worship the structure. We worship a God that is just crazy in love for us and has an incredible mission for us. And so what we see is structures always exist to serve God's people to fulfill their mission. And that's why we exist as a church. Let me give you a few points this morning about what a great movement is, a great movement of God. The first point this morning is great movements always involve a cause. Okay, there's a right or a wrong. There's a injustice that has to be met. When you think about great movements throughout history, they reach out and they make a difference because there is a cause worthy of their attention. And whether it was the civil rights movement, or whether you could look at all these different great movements throughout history, and they always involve a cause, something that grabs us. I like what Bill Hybels calls it. He calls it a holy discontent for Christians. So we see something, and there's just something in our soul that says, that's not right. And there's a cause, and that's the start of a movement. And we see something that needs to be dealt with, and we realize that someone has to do whatever it takes to address that. Nehemiah in the Old Testament is one of my favorite passages about that. Nehemiah heard about the condition of the walls in Jerusalem, and he wanted to do something about it. And it affected him at such a deep level. And not only did he pray about it, but when he had his opportunity before the king, he shared and he went back and he helped rebuild the walls. We see that he had a holy discontent. We see that there was a cause there. He rallied people around him. They went with him. They faced opposition. They faced hardship. But yet he was called by God to make a difference, and he did. And so that was a movement that people got behind and that we see. But what happens is a movement, it starts with a group of people who are motivated by a common vision and purpose. And let me kind of contrast here for you the difference, again, between a movement and an institution. A movement is held together by this vision. There's this great vision. There's a cause that needs addressing. An institution is held together by rules. A movement is a culture of sacrifice. People are willing to do whatever it takes. Institution is a culture of rights. I have my rights and you can't take those away. A movement is leadership by empowerment. It's not all about the leader doing everything. It's about the leader empowering others to fulfill this mission. But in an institution, leadership is by control. And you're starting to see maybe the contrast here. A movement values risk. I mean, there's risk involved, and they're not afraid to step out in faith. And an institution, though, values stability. A movement is about developing people. An institution is about developing programs. A movement is focused on the future and what needs to happen. An institution is focused on the past. So let me ask you, when you start, you know, we start laying this out and describing it, what does our church need to be? It needs to be a movement of the people of God, right? It's not about self-preservation. It's not about stability. It's not about the status quo. We have a great cause. We have the cause of Christ. There are people all around us in this community that don't know Christ. And we have the opportunity to share Christ with them. We have the opportunity to introduce them to a life-changing relationship that not only affects their life now. I mean, if it was only that, that would be important enough for us to go and share, right? If it just changed their life while they were here on earth, it would be an important enough task for us to go and do. But we're talking about changing lives for all of eternity. We're talking about changing lives for all of eternity. In Acts chapter 1, we're going to be in Acts this morning, 1 and 2, and I'll flip through a few. If you got your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn there with me. We see here what happened after Jesus ascended back to heaven. You know, he died on the cross, he rose again, he appeared to the disciples, he taught, he encouraged, but then he ascended back to heaven. And the disciples were left and just honestly saying, now what? Now what do we do? I mean, we've had Jesus right here with us through all of this. And now our master, our ruler, our Lord, he is gone. Our rabbi, our teacher, our instructor. What do we do? And so these are the instructions. And in Acts 1, let's pick it up. It said, in my former book, Theophilus, and this is Luke writing this, he said, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so what we see here is very early on, we see the start of a movement. It starts with a vision here. First, Christ commanded them, wait. You need to wait. I'm going to send you power to do this. You don't have to do it in your own strength. And at times he said, it's even best for you that I leave and that the Holy Spirit comes. Because he knows that instead of just having somebody beside them to say, is this what we should be doing, Jesus? They're going to have the Holy Spirit inside of them, empowering them, guiding them, speaking truth to them, and giving them the power to do what they need. And that's the same Holy Spirit we have today. Let's not forget that, right? We forget that sometimes. We think, well, man, I could never do that. I mean, those were the apostles. They were with Jesus. But we have the same Holy Spirit that they have inside of us. And Jesus left them with a task. He left them with a mission. He sent them. He said, okay, I'm going to leave you, And I'm preparing a place for you. Remember what he says in John. But here's what he says. He says, you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. What does a witness do? They share about what they've seen and heard, right? They share what they've seen. They go out and they tell other people. And he says, you're going to be my witnesses right here in Jerusalem. It's going to start right where you are. And so to be a missionary, you don't have to get on a plane. We have an incredible cause. We have a mission. We have a purpose. And you don't have to get on a plane and travel halfway around the world to be a missionary, because it starts right here in Galax. This week, it was kind of interesting. We spent some time down at the Fiddler's Convention. And I know for some Christians, they think that's almost like a, you know, heresy that you would even go down there, because there might be alcohol down there, right? Maybe you've run across that viewpoint before. We have, I don't know how many thousand people come these days, at least, 20, 30, 40,000 people come into Galax. They're coming to Galax for music. They're coming here. We have the opportunity to reach out and share Christ, to share the love of Christ with them. And do we sit back and condemn them because, you know, or do we go and embrace that opportunity? I had the opportunity to pray last night to open up the Fiddler's Convention. I was so excited for that. I mean, here you get the chance to stand in front of a group of people and share Christ. How great is that? That we can do things like that. That we can engage the culture. We can reach out to them and share Christ. We can be a missionary right here. And that's why when you hear about our Servolution group and the different service projects in the community, that's what they're doing. When you last Sunday morning, we got here at 6 o'clock in the morning and gave out coffee and went up and down the street and talked to people. We are serving as missionaries. We are being witnesses right here in our own Jerusalem. But it doesn't stop there, right? It goes to Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth. We have a great cause, a great vision. And that's the start of a great movement. And so movements aren't really based on a building. They're based on a group of people motivated by vision, by purpose, and passion. The second thing I want to share about is great movements begin with an invitation to follow. Now, I've got a video I want to share with you, and it's kind of interesting. The reason I thought about this video, I saw it several years ago. Of course, the Fiddlers has been in town, and it's kind of a unique crowd of people that come in for that, especially some that camp. Just saying, okay? We have, it draws all different crowds. I mean, we've got the traditional people, and then we've got the people that are a little more, what would you call, progressive? Trying to think of a nice word. We got that. Then, I don't know how many of y'all noticed a few weeks ago, if you drove by the church, we had an interesting group of people camping out here for a couple of days. They were a bicycle group. They were the Petrol-Free Jubilee Gypsy Carnival Tour, I think is the official name. They're a bicycle group. They were traveling through. They didn't have anywhere to stay. They were coming down Main. They saw and they called us one night and said, "Can we camp?" And we pitch our tents in the back of the church. And we're like, "Sure, why not? You know, go ahead." And they were interesting. They were going on they were on the way from Richmond to Asheville, going to a Christian social justice conference. It was really interesting talking to them. Good people. They were, I mean, it was like far out, you know? I mean, it was just, they were in touch with their feelings. And we had a blast talking with them. They left an awesome night. We even let them sleep inside the church the second night they were here, because it was interesting talking to them. But they had a cause. They were riding to protest oil and gas. And so that's why they're on bikes, and they had a mission. They were passionate about it, and it was interesting getting to meet them. But when I, you know, thinking about them and thinking about Fiddlers, I remember this video I saw that describes how movement starts. This is from a TED leadership talk. I don't know if you're familiar with that organization, but they have short leadership talks, and in 3 minutes you get to see how movement is started. So let's watch this video.
If you've learned a lot about leadership and making a movement, then let's watch a movement happen start to finish in under 3 minutes and dissect some lessons. First, of course, a leader needs the guts to stand alone and look ridiculous. But what he's doing is so simple, it's almost instructional. This is key. You must be easy to follow. Now here comes the first follower with a crucial role. he publicly shows everyone else how to follow. Notice how the leader embraces him as an equal. So it's not about the leader anymore. It's about them, plural. Notice how he's calling to his friends to join in. See, it takes guts to be a first follower. You stand out and you brave ridicule yourself. Being a first follower is an underappreciated form of leadership. The first follower transforms a lone nut into a leader. If the leader is the flint, the first follower is the spark that really makes the fire. Now here's the second follower. This is a turning point. It's proof the first has done well. Now it's not a lone nut, and it's not two nuts. Three is a crowd, and a crowd is news. A movement must be public. Make sure outsiders see more than just the leader. Everyone needs to see the followers, because new followers emulate followers, not the leader. Now here come two more people, then three more immediately. Now we've got momentum. This is the tipping point, and now we have a movement. As more people jump in, it's no longer risky. If they were on the fence before, there's no reason not to join in now. They won't stand out, they won't be ridiculed, and they will be part of the in crowd if they hurry. And over the next minute, you'll see the rest who prefer to stay part of the crowd, because eventually they'd be ridiculed for not joining. And ladies and gentlemen, that is how a movement is made. So let's recap what we've learned. If you are a version of the shirtless dancing guy, all alone, remember the importance of nurturing your first few followers as equals, making everything clearly about the movement, not you. Be public, be easy to follow. But the biggest lesson here, did you catch it? Leadership is over-glorified. Yes, it started with the shirtless guy, and he'll get all the credit, but you saw what really happened. It was the first follower that transformed a lone nut into a leader. There's no movement without the first follower. See, we're told that we all need to be leaders, but that would be really ineffective. The best way to make a movement, if you really care, is to courageously follow and show others how to follow. When you find a lone nut doing something great, have the guts to be the first person to stand up and join in.
So let me just, there was this line in there, I don't know if you caught it. The best way, the leadership there is being willing to courageously follow and teach other people how to follow. So that's what a movement is about. We're courageously following Jesus, but we're inviting other people so we're not the lone nut out there dancing, okay? And sometimes it seems like that. Sometimes when we take a stand, and sometimes we're out there sharing and serving, it seems like you're the crazy shirtless guy. But we have to realize, which one are you, the first person out there? Is that your personality? You're the first one out there? Or are you the first follower? Or are you one of the ones that come later? Let me ask you, which is more important? They're all important, right? The only role that is not doing it is the ones that are sitting back saying, I'm not doing that. And that's where typically we find people in church that are on the fringe as they're sitting back and saying, I'm not going to follow. I'll show up on Sunday morning. I'll be part of the institution, but this movement stuff, that's not me. I'm not going to do that because I may look silly. I may look ridiculous. People are going to think I'm like weird about Jesus. And so they step back and they say, we'll just watch, but we're not going to get involved. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. Because we see a movement here, people, that this is different. This is weird. In Acts chapter 2. And we see here, I'll kind of read a couple passages here. The first passage is the same disciples who were scared and indecisive and running. Now we see these disciples change. We see them stand up and start a movement here. It says, when the people heard this, after Peter was preaching at Pentecost, he stood up and he preached. I mean, he shared the word with the people gathered around. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive gift of the Holy Spirit. So they're seeking to follow, and he explains, if you want to follow, this is what you do. First, you turn your life around. You give your life to Christ. You repent. But secondly, you're baptized. Be public about it. This is not a one-time event. This is not something that you just go and say, okay, I'm going to follow Christ and then go back to your hometown. No, you're making a public commitment that from this day forward, your life is going to be different. And then he says, the promises for you and your children and all those who are far off, all whom the Lord will call. And with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. That's a movement. That's not just one person standing out and dancing and acting crazy. That's a movement of God that is orchestrated by God. And that's what a movement really is. It's not something we create because, you know, that video, right? I mean, it's not directly applicable to what we do as a church because what we do, we don't create a movement. We join in on God already at work. And he's the one that's orchestrating the movement. But we're the ones who are his hands and feet in sharing this message of hope and salvation. But what we see right here is great movements. They begin when someone is willing to take the first step. Peter stood up and said, I'm going to be the one. I'll stand up. I'll share. I'll tell others about Christ. I don't care if I look stupid or not. I don't care about my past. Yes, I was the one who cussed and cursed Jesus and made a big deal about it and ran away. But I'm the one who messed up and cut off the soldier's ear. But I've been changed. I've been changed, so I'm not afraid to take a stand. And God is inviting you to be something, to be part of something that's bigger than yourself. That's what a movement is about. It's not about you and your comfort. It's about being part of something greater than yourself. And so that, we see that. The third thing this morning that is about great movements, a kind of a characteristic of a great movement, is great movements do transform the world. They do transform the world. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The very next verse here. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. So after this mass number of people came and were saved, 3,000 people were saved, the apostles stayed there and taught them. And they taught, they had fellowship, they broke bread, they prayed. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together. They had sacrifice. They had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone that had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. And then they broke bread in homes and ate together with glad, sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is a movement. This is not church on Sunday morning for an hour a week. This is doing life together. This is a group of people who are committed to each other, who are fellowshipping together, who are serving together, who are loving each other, who are really, truly making a difference and transforming the world around them. And as we continue on through Acts, you see the effect that 12 disciples had. They turned the world upside down. They turned the world upside down. Here at Cornerstone, we do a lot of things to try to push you out of church. is that a good thought? We try to push you out. We try to push you into service in the community. We try to push you into our life groups. And the reason why is, yes, you can learn, you can be encouraged, you can be challenged here on Sunday morning. But we know that a movement goes far beyond that. It goes beyond just sitting in a row listening to me ramble on Sunday mornings. What a movement is about is about you taking what you have learned and putting it into practice. You taking it and going out. And so we push you into life groups. Life groups are a great way to get connected to other people, to learn more about Scripture, to serve together, to fellowship together. As we read this Acts chapter 2, that's a picture of a life group, right? It's a picture of a group of people doing life together. It's a picture of a group of people who are committed to Christ, who are sharing and interacting and learning from each other. It's not a picture of a lecture. And so we try to encourage you to be part of life groups. Now, next month, we're going to start our next round of life groups here at Cornerstone. We want to have about 15 life groups if possible. And they'll meet, some will meet in homes, some will meet here, some will meet during the day, some will meet at night. They meet all different times. Usually we have one every single day of the week. So you will have many opportunities to be part of one. And here's the problem, though, right now. We don't have 15 life group leaders. So I need a few of you who are crazy enough, not to take your shirt off and dance, but a few of you who are crazy enough to take that first step and say, I'm going to be a leader. I'm going to be willing to host or lead or facilitate a life group of people. And what we're asking you to do, we've got a 6-week study we're going to be starting in September called Follow Me. It's about learning how to follow Jesus. And we're going to ask you to do that study. We'll give you the material you need. We need you to help facilitate discussion. We need you to help, to schedule a time of fellowship and food and a get-together time outside of that. We need you to schedule a time of service with the group where you're serving our community together. And we can help you with that. But we need 10 to 15 people who are not afraid to be the first one that runs out and be the leader. And if you're willing to do that, I'm going to just ask you right now, if you take out a communication card and write, I'm willing to be a life group leader on that. And if you put it in the offering box before you leave today, or you can talk to me or talk to Todd Davis, who is our life group coordinator, just to let us know. That's really, we want to challenge you with that. But great movements transform the world. And what we see is we see a church that is on fire for God, that is moving. We see them gaining momentum, especially when it's outside of these four walls. We see people, and already through the service we've done in our community, we've had so many great God moments, I would just call them, God divine appointments, where we've been able to speak truth into people's lives. We've been able to encourage them. We've been able to share Christ with them. And I just want to share just a few characteristics of a movement, marks of a movement is what I'll call them here, marks of a movement. And this is kind of helps us to understand how what a movement looks like. The first characteristic is unity. A movement has unity. They know what their purpose is. They have a compelling vision. They have a clear picture of the future that they're seeking and they're moving towards. And so the leaders are saying, if this is where you want to go, come along and follow me. You know, this is where we're going together. And so there's this unity of purpose. There's this unity. And you see this, that the goal of a movement is to reach a city. Like, our goal is not just to reach people here within Cornerstone on Sunday morning. Yes, we want everybody in this room. I want everybody that hears my voice to have the opportunity to respond to Christ. But our goal, hear me on this, is to reach the city of Galax. And so it's not to build a great organization. It's to reach this city. And that leads to the second characteristic, the second mark of a movement. And that's cooperation. Cooperation. If our goal as a church is to reach a city, then we should be excited about what other churches are doing to reach people for Christ. And hear me on this. You can kind of check your heart on this as a church member when a new church opens in town. What does that make you feel like? Do you get worried that you're going to lose people and people are going to go there? And that, why are they starting a new church? We have enough churches already. And when Cornerstone was started, I'll tell you, we heard that, right? You guys have been here since the beginning. We heard that. Why do we need another church? There's a church on every corner. What do you think you guys are doing? Are you better than us? And that suspicious, the way that people treat you and reflect, that shows whether you are part of a movement or you part of an institution. An institution, man, they're worried about preserving their institution. They don't care about the greater goal. They don't care about this greater movement. They're worried about themselves. And so as a church, you've seen us work. Praising in the Park was so incredible, wasn't it? To see churches come together, serve together, and have a great community-wide Bible school. And it wasn't... And if you notice, on the signage, advertisements from the stage, you didn't hear, this is Cornerstone's Bible School. No, it was, this is for the community. This is for Christ. And so this cooperation is huge. You see it, some of you don't even know, but we've been helping another church in town with praise and worship on Sunday mornings. They didn't have a worship leader, and they were struggling in that area. So since January of this year, really, we've been sending some of our musicians almost every week over to another church in town, Christ Chapel, to help them on Sunday morning. I mean, and has that meant that some people from here have gone over there, or maybe our attendance is down because we've got groups of people over there serving and helping on Sunday morning? Yeah. But it's not about us, right? I mean, that's something we can celebrate. It's cooperation. It's building the kingdom because they're reaching people we're not reaching. They're different than we are, and it takes all kinds of churches to reach all kinds of people, and we can celebrate that, and we can cooperate with that. The third mark of a movement is sacrifice. Sacrifice. People that are part of a movement, they're willing to sacrifice. They're willing to sacrifice their time. They say, I'm busy, I've got all this stuff going on, but I want to be part of this. And I can make room in my schedule. I can turn off the TV, I can get off Facebook, I can do whatever it takes because I want to be part of this movement of God. They can also sacrifice their resources and say, I've got this skill and I've got these possessions that other people can use and I'll share them, and they'll sacrifice their resources. But they'll also sacrifice their money. They'll also sacrifice their money. And when Christ says that how we spend our money shows the condition of our heart and shows where our heart truly is, that's what people that are part of a movement, they're willing to sacrifice. I shared a few weeks ago that the average Christian in America gives less than 2% a year to the church. And if you kind of dig a little deeper into the statistics, what's really sad is that people 65 and older give a hugely, hugely disproportionate share of the money to most churches. Let's be honest here for a minute. They sacrifice. Even though they grew up in very different times, times where they didn't have as much, they sacrifice. When you start looking at younger baby boomers, you start looking at Generation X, you start even looking at Generation Y, they give hardly anything to church. So what does that tell you about the future of church? The future of the movement? And I'm not just talking about Cornerstone, I'm talking about all churches. We're in trouble, aren't we? Because people aren't willing to sacrifice. People are in debt so much that they, even if they want to give, they can't give. I'm not naive. I understand the pressure and the unemployment and the times. But the truth is, we've placed ourselves in that position where we're stretched so thin that we have no financial margin that we simply don't give. And I just want to challenge you a little bit. If you're part of a movement, then it's going to mean sacrifice. It's going to mean it's not easy. It's going to mean if you're part of something bigger than yourself, that you've got to reorient your priorities in life around what's really important, what really matters, and what's eternal. The fourth mark is creativity. It's creativity. You have freedom in a movement because you don't have to do the way it's always been done. And maybe you've been part of something like that where, we can't do that. We've never done it that way before. You don't hear that much at Cornerstone. But even yet, we've been here, we've been in existence 8 years now. You start seeing the pull we've done it for 8 years that way. You mean we can do it, And already you feel that draw, that gravitational pull back to an institution. And so that's what we've got to guard against, right? As a church, we've got to recognize and guard against it. That, man, a movement, there's unity, there's cooperation, there's sacrifice, there's creativity. There's all these things that we're doing. And that's really why we push you out on Sunday. We give you opportunities to serve. We give you opportunities to get connected. Because we believe that church is more than what happens here on Sunday morning. Let's look. I got a quote here I want to share. It's kind of interesting here. It's from Tim Keller. This is what he says about the gospel. He says, the gospel creates community. The gospel creates community because it points us to the one who died for his enemies. It creates relationships of service rather than relationships of selfishness. Now think about that. I love that statement. It creates relationships of service rather than selfishness because it removes both fear and pride. People get along inside the church who could never get along outside. That's what, when you're part of a movement, you get along with other people. You realize that we are called to leave this place because what happens in here has to affect what happens outside of here. I've got one more video I want to show you this morning that kind of demonstrates that. think that video does a good job explaining why we meet here on Sunday morning. We're part of a movement, and a movement doesn't sit still. A movement's not content with being in one place. So look at the book of Acts. I just want to share a few verses this morning. Acts 4, verse 4. It says, many who heard the message believed, so the number of men grew to about 5,000. Shows it's a movement. It's growing. Acts 4:13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. A movement starts with ordinary people. It doesn't start with ordained ministers who have been to school. It starts with ordinary, unschooled people who are passionate about Jesus, who can tell about what they've seen and what they've heard and what they've experienced. Acts 5, it says, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. And as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. And crowds gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits. And all of them were healed. We see them changing the world. Acts 5:42, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house. So in church and in the homes. You see this public space and church and they never stop teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. We see a movement here. Acts 8:4, right after they were persecuted and Stephen was stoned, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. So it wasn't just about what happened in Jerusalem. Now we see they were scattered out everywhere and they preached the word. Acts 9:31, the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened. And living in fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. And so what we see here is a movement is growing because a movement is not content with what they already have. I was reading a story about a church in England, and the pastor there, a guy named Mike Breen, who was in Sheffield, England, and the church was growing and growing, and they got where they couldn't. They were having four services on Sunday morning, and he went to his higher up guy. I don't know what it's called in the Church of England. He went to the next guy higher up and said, "Hey, there's an empty gym just a few blocks away, and I want to start having services there." And they said, "You can't do it because that's in another parish, and that's not, you know, you can't do that." And he got into all these rules, and he said, "Well, what am I supposed to do? My church is full. We're having four services." And the guy says, "Well, you need to be satisfied with what you have and not get any more." I'm sitting there thinking, what? And I was reading the story, and he's like, "No, you just need to run some people off." That's what the church told him so they could fit because they had to manage what they already have. That's the difference between an institution and a movement. A movement will find a solution. A movement will find a way. A movement is all about moving forward. It's about the future. And so this morning, what I've been sharing with you is, in the next few weeks, we'll kind of dig a little deeper. This is really an introduction. What does it mean to be a movement of people, a movement of the people of God? What does it mean to follow after Him in such a way that we are just passionate? That we're constantly leaving here, sharing what Christ is doing. That we're leaving here empowered by the Holy Spirit, teaching, serving, giving, loving, and leading others to Christ. It doesn't all happen here within the four walls of a church. Because it's more about, a movement is about a lifestyle. A lifestyle that we're surrendered to Christ. So we're going to give you an opportunity this Wednesday to learn more about what it means to follow Jesus during this simulcast. 6 to 7:30 here. We want to invite you to join us. I want to give some of you the opportunity to step up and be leaders for our life groups. We need that. I want to give some of you the opportunity to just to be part of something bigger and to join in one of our life groups. Not necessarily lead, but just become part of it. And in a few weeks, you'll have an opportunity to sign up for those. I want to give you an opportunity to be part of a movement here at Cornerstone that is seeking to bring glory to God through everything that we do. On Sunday morning, through the week, just constantly. So I'm going to ask that the praise team come back on up this morning as we get ready to close. And here's my final thought for you. We truly believe that there is a heaven and there is a hell. Okay? And that the only way you can be made right with God is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. A relationship that starts when you surrender your life to God. And so my question for you this morning, my question is, will you surrender? If you want to be part of a, if you want to be part of an institution, that's not who we are at Cornerstone. We're a movement. But it starts when we surrender and we say, we acknowledge who our leader, who our master, who our ruler is, who the Lord of our life is, and that's Jesus Christ. And that's the beginning of a movement. That's how you join in a movement. It's when you give your life to Christ. Will you guys pray with me this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We have so much to be thankful for. We celebrate this morning the lives that have been changed and the baptism service last week and just all the great things you are doing through the people here at Cornerstone. Lord, we truly want to be part of a movement that extends far beyond these four walls, a movement that changes this whole community, that changes this whole region, that changes this whole state, that changes this whole nation, that changes this entire world. May we be bold enough and courageous enough to take that step and to teach others how to follow Christ. Lord, we just surrender to you this morning. We give you our life. We're tired of doing things our way. We want to trust and follow you. Help us acknowledge the salvation that you offer us, that Jesus died on the cross so that we might be saved, so that our sins might be forgiven, so that we might be given a new life and a new purpose. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your offer, your free gift of salvation that you've offered us. May we respond to that this morning. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. So we close this morning. I'm going to be over to the side. Any questions, any prayer you need, you can leave them on your communication cards. You can let us know. Would you join us in a time of worship?
I fall apart. even though we're unworthy, God, we thank you that we can cry out to you and we can be part of your movement, Lord. We're sinful people. God, we're evil people. We do horrible things, God. But, and with you, we're nothing. But God, because of your Son, because of what he did on the cross, we can do anything through Christ, God. And God, Christ makes us something. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your meaning that you put into our lives and our purpose, God, because without you we have no purpose. God, please be with your church this week. I pray that we would go out into this community and change it for you. In Jesus' name. Guys, go and have a good week.